He's going to be sharing, so give him a clap offering here.
Good morning, everybody. Going to talk this week kind of in the same context that we've been working on. Some of you may or may not remember, but several weeks back when I first started speaking on kingdom evangelism and living a naturally supernatural life, I contrasted love with manipulation and spent some time on that. And the recording's on the website if you feel like review. But I'm gonna work on this idea of manipulation. That's kind of a hard word. It's kind of like gives you the creepy crawlies a little bit when you say it, when you think about it, and what it means. And that's not, the focus is not on the manipulation, but it's on recognizing some things in ourselves. And I get to illustrate this with an example from my life, which, you know, hopefully will articulate what I'm trying to get across here today. In order to love well, we need wisdom. Is that a fair statement? And one of the things that we've been talking about here is loving the people that we're in relationship with, or loving people just because God loves them, and that's what He's called us to do. And so I want to take a look at some scripture today in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And we're just going to spend some time, 13 through 18. It's only five verses. We're going to go through them one by one. And look at these in a little more detail. And then we'll circle back to this idea of love versus manipulation. And so before I get into this, what I'm trying to do here is to get us individually to kind of look introspectively at ourselves, okay? And what I'm really going for here is, like, if you can go through what we're about to go through in the context of examining yourself in a relationship with a person or a group of people, okay? You pick whichever one you want. It's probably going to apply. And so let's see what James has to say here about heavenly wisdom. Let me get in my right translation. Verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. So he starts out with a question. Who is wise? And he's talking to the religious people that think they have it all figured out. So he's kind of being sarcastic there. Who is wise among you? And then he identifies wisdom. He says, let them show it by their what? By their life. Okay, that, I know that's so simple, but it just blows me away that when you have wisdom, you don't have to tell people about it. You live it. It is who you are. It's what you do. And people see the actions that you do and the deeds that you do, and they say, he's wise. You know, and you become a source of wisdom that comes from God. And that's what it just says. Okay, 14. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. And so this is the introspective part. Do I have bitter envy or selfish ambition or anything like that? That grinds against the fruit of the Spirit that Craig's been talking about. That's how you tell. You know, we know what the fruits are. We've been coming here a long time. If we have things in our life that are opposite of those things, then if you look at that, if you focus on that, if you ask yourself and ask God, where are these coming from? It's probably rooted in one of those things. Such, quote, wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Verse 14. For where you have envy and selfish ambition and any of those other things that go against the fruit of the Spirit, there you find disorder and every evil practice. So in the Amplified Bible, it calls that superficial wisdom, the world's wisdom. In verse 17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven, and he gives us a long list. And so this is where you have to introspectively look at these things and say, okay, when I was here with these people, or this person, in this interaction with this person, did these things characterize my interaction? Things like being pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Now, you can go deep on any one of those things, but that's a good list just to kind of commit to memory. Because here's the thing. It's so easy to just go through life and not examine yourself, not examine the things in us that keep us from being able to be at peace with each other, to be at peace with our family, to be at peace with God. And so I know, you know, we sang a song this morning, and one of the prophetic choruses was, we'll never run away. We'll march toward the giants. You know, we'll do whatever we got to do, God. Right? We all sang that together, and we meant it, right? Well, here's my challenge for today, that looking inward on your life and identifying these little things that are so easy to gloss over, sometimes that's harder than going out and kicking Goliath in the shin. You know what I mean? And it's because we're kind of desensitized to it, you know? Being introspective and looking at your reactions with your family members and with other people is not commonplace. I don't think. It's not for me. It's not for, you know, the people that I'm around. We don't sit around and talk about how we examined our lives the other day, and this is what we saw, really. It's just something we don't do. But I think that that this wisdom that James is talking about comes when we're able to do that thing, when we're able to look at, you know, how we've come across with other people and examine the things in our life that are rooted in maybe bitter envy and selfish ambition that keep us from having full relationships with people and full relationships with God. And so I'm going to give an example here from my life. And this isn't profound necessarily. It was for me because I lived it. But in a previous job, I was a manager of people. You know, I had 6 or 7 people that worked for me. And I had a boss, and he had a boss, and it was a big corporation, much different than what I'm in now. But the principle applies no matter where you are. You know, I had these people working for me, and, you know, I was saved. I was going to church every Sunday. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I was serving in the community. I was doing, you know, by all accounts, good deeds, like James talks about. But here's something that I noticed about myself, and I thank God that he revealed this to me, which, like, I pray that he'll reveal things to you that are similar to what I'm about to share with you, is that there were things in my life and from my past that I didn't even know were affecting my relationships with people. And so, in particular, I have these people working for me, and I have a drive to succeed. And every morning I get out of bed and I want to do something remarkable. You know, I want to make a difference. I want to be the best at what I'm doing, which that's honorable. That's good. You know, I think that pleases God, but I don't think it pleases God as fully as it can because of what I'm going to share with you. I had these people working for me, and they were good people. They were great people. And, you know, I would even say that I love those people. We had a great working relationship with each other. But the way that I conducted myself was not necessarily unfair, unjust. It was what I'm going to call manipulative. So we're going back to that word again. Because all my efforts at work were about how I could do the best for my company, how I could fulfill my goals, how I could, you know, make our department look good to the bosses. Do you see where I'm going with this? And it wasn't necessarily at the expense of other people, but it wasn't necessarily for their benefit either. It was that wasn't my focus, was how can I lift these people up? How can I make them better? How can I, you know, improve their life? It was, here's my job. I want to do the best at it. I want to show everybody how good we can be. And here's my tools, my pawns. It sounds pretty ugly when you say it that way, and I'm probably being a little bit dramatic. But do you get the picture I'm painting here with this? It's kind of a frame of mind that I did not have. You know, the love of God was not coming through me at work going to those people. It came to me at work and got stopped up from flowing the way that it should have flowed because I was too fixated on being the best, being successful, yada, yada, yada. And that sounds subtle, but it was subtle. And that's what I'm trying to get you all to see here this morning, is that there's subtle things in our lives that can block the flow of what God wants to do in us, through us, and with other people. And so, you know, the nugget for that, in that for me was, Chad, I love them. You know, and I put you here in this position to provide for your family, to do the best you can, to honor me with the excellence of your work. But it's kind of manipulative the way that you're conducting yourself. It's not how I want you to treat those people. It's not the level at which I want you to be in relationship with them. And so we have to ask those questions, and I asked them all kinds of questions about that. And one thing I know as a result of that is it is much, much harder to do what I'm saying, to look at yourself, ask God the difficult question, is this the way that I'm supposed to be working this right now, God? And to work through that. It's easy to gloss over it and just say, it's a big corporation, that's what people do. Well, probably so, but it's not what we need to do. So this wisdom, you know, God imparted some wisdom to me when he showed me that. And so I stewed on it. I brought it into my life. I asked God about it. And you go back to this list. Is it peace-loving now? It's a lot more peace-loving than it was. Is it being considerate now? It's being much more considerate than it was. Am I being submissive? Well, yeah, I had to submit to God and allow him to show me that, help me walk through that. Was it full of mercy? Impartial, sincere, the list goes on. And so you have an experience. God reveals something to you. He gives you that wisdom. You know, it's on us to go back and match that up and say, okay, am I living this out fully? Do I still have, was I not merciful enough? Okay, God, let's work on this one next. We've been talking about peace a lot. Craig's been talking about it a lot the last couple of weeks. And I love verse 18. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. I'm going to read this from the Amplified because I like the way that it kind of turns this verse around. In the Amplified, it says, "In the harvest of righteousness," in parentheses, "of conformity to God's will in thought and deed, is the fruit of the seed sown in peace." You got that? The fruit of the seed sown in peace. In the NIV, it just says, "Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." Doesn't say nothing about a seed. Okay? So peacemakers sow that seed. And the reward that we reap is righteousness. So we're sowing that seed of peace. You know, we're living life, the seed's sown. And when it fruits, it's righteousness in our lives. The fruit of the seed sown in peace by those who work for peace and make peace in themselves and in others. That peace which means concord, agreement, harmony between individuals, with undisturbedness and a peaceful mind, free from fears and agitating passions. That's a lot. But you got, for me, what it says, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. That's really what we're after here. We want that wisdom of God to come into us. We want to analyze what's going on in our lives. We want to take that wisdom and use it to sow peace into everything that we're working on. So again, holidays are here. It's time to put this stuff to the test, right? I focused a lot on manipulation today, but what I really want to leave you with this morning is just the challenge to scrutinize things in your life. And we're all mature enough to know when this is happening to us, where things in our life take our peace away. You know, it might be something we said, it might be something somebody else said. It doesn't matter. When that happens, there's something in us that's not complete in the Lord. And I think that God gets the most glory when He reveals those things to us and we make a conscious effort to step toward Him and deal with those things to sow more peace into the world. Okay? And so, I'm just going to quickly pray that God would make those opportunities for us, that He would quicken our spirits when those things are happening to us, and that the word from Whitney this morning about the fire in the field, you know, the fire returns nutrients to the field because God doesn't waste anything, okay? And that's what I'm saying here this morning, is that if we're faithful to do this, God doesn't waste anything. He'll take those negative emotions or experiences in our lives and He will grow us from those things. You know, He'll put a little fire over it and burn the junk away, but the nutrients from that junk will fertilize us into better people, more full of His glory. So God, I just pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning, God, that you don't waste anything, God. And I just pray that you would all help us as we go through this week, as we go through the next month, just to examine ourselves, God, to desire your wisdom. It's like James said, Lord, if we ask for wisdom, you'll give it to us. And so just help us to be faithful to ask as we go through this season, Father. I thank you for these people, and I thank you that you're good to us, and you want to grow us up to glorify you. In Jesus' name. Amen.